Having thus seen that this fact, which was attested by God and confessed by Peter, is the truth to be believed in order to overcome the world, and confessed in order that God may dwell in the party making it, it may be well to see how it is confessed. Paul says that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Again, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. In these quotations, two important facts are made apparent. First, the confession is to be made with the tongue. Second, God has determined that it shall be made, and therefore it cannot be dispensed with or ignored by those who would honor his authority. But from the pen of the same apostle we have another lesson on this subject. He says, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. We here learn that the confession is not only to be made with the mouth, but it is a condition of salvation, and therefore precedes remission of sins. Mark well that Paul does not say, with a nod of the head, confession is made unto salvation. Nor does he say that by visiting the sick or other acts of obedience through life, confession is made, but it is made with the mouth unto salvation. And while Paul is thus specific, we dare not accept it made in any other way, provided the subject has the use of the tongue with which to make it. Having learned that the confession with the mouth is a condition of and unto salvation, and therefore before it, and as Jesus says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, it follows that confession precedes baptism. And as the baptized believer is saved, there is no period between his baptism and his salvation in which to make the confession. And hence, as it is made before salvation, it is certainly made before baptism. As it is with the heart man believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and with the mouth he confesses what the heart believes, it follows that the confession with the mouth is subsequent to faith or belief. Hence, clearly, the confession is located after faith and before baptism. As stated elsewhere, were a man to make the confession with the mouth before he believed with the heart, it would be a downright falsehood, for he would thereby say he believed what he did not believe. Now, if the reader will review the ground over which we have traveled, he will find that God has determined that man shall confess with the mouth his faith in Jesus Christ as being the Son of God before he is baptized, and by so doing he puts himself under obligation to observe all the laws emanating from him as head of the church built upon the truth he thus confesses. Paul's account of Timothy's confession is in perfect harmony with this view of the whole subject. We quote from Anderson's version as follows, Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you have been called and for which you confessed the good confession before many witnesses. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Jesus proposed to confess such as confessed him before men. Timothy made the good confession before many witnesses. Paul tells the Romans that confession is made unto salvation. And when we supply the antecedent to which the relative which refers in his account of Timothy's confession, we find it reading thus, For which eternal life you confessed the good confession. Then Timothy made the confession unto salvation and for eternal life, whereunto he was called by the gospel when Paul preached it to him. Surely this is plain enough. That the good confession made by Timothy consisted in confessing that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, is further shown by the fact that in the next verse Paul applies the very same words, the good confession, to the confession made by Jesus before Pontius Pilate. And though in the account given by Matthew of what he said in answer to Pilate the words, I am the Son of God, are not found, yet we are assured by the testimony of his enemies that this was embraced in his confession. In derision they said, If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. And again, He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Matthew chapter 27, verses 40 to 43. If this, then, was what Paul called the good confession when made by the Savior, it is also what he called the good confession when made by Timothy before many witnesses for eternal life whereunto he was called by the gospel which was preached to him. Kind reader, have you made this confession with your mouth to your salvation? If not, you may have to make it to your eternal condemnation. For we have seen that the decree has gone forth that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But it is sometimes said that there was not time enough on the day of Pentecost after Peter quit preaching for 3,000 to have made this confession before their baptism. Will the objector tell us how long it would have taken on that occasion for this same 3,000 to have each told such an experience as he requires previous to baptism? While it would have been possible for one speaker, and there were 12 present, to have propounded the question, Do each of you believe with all the heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the response, I do, to have come simultaneously from 3,000 tongues in as little time as it could have been asked of and answered by a single person, it could not have been possible for such experiences as are now told to have been told in that way. They may all differ in the details and must therefore be told, listened to, and decided upon separately. Say then, how long would it have taken to hear 3,000 of them in that way? We have seen the inexorable law that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, and that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hence the presentation of difficulties cannot set aside the positive law as long as there remains a possibility that the law was obeyed. The objector must show that obedience to the law was impossible before we are at liberty to presume that it was not obeyed. And even then the possibility might constitute an exception to the law, but not an abrogation of it.